Hey, welcome to Long Distance Sisters.
I'm Tori.
I'm McKenna.
And I'm Serena.
Come chat with us while we're far apart.
Okay, let's get started.
Hello.
Hello, hello, and welcome to what's about to be a really great episode of our podcast. The three of us are here, as usual, and we are joined by one of my greatest friends, Miss Anna.
Hi.
And she's going to teach us about astrology.
Hopefully. More than we know already.
We'll do it.
Definitely more than we know.
Yes, I think it was, February? Anna and I were both visiting Tori at the same time, and we started talking about astrology, and she, like, had us do put our info into CoStar.
Literally,
and she just started, like, everything, and we were like, we have to do a podcast episode on this.
I know, I'm so glad that we're here. We've talked a lot about it, so I'm so excited.
Yeah. A long time coming for sure.
Yay.
Have you seen any bears yet, Serena, in Montana?
No, but there was a deer I saw today because they roam around campus, and his antlers were growing like into his face. But they should fall off, right? Don't deer antlers, McKenna? Deer antlers, do they fall off?
I believe yes, they shed their antlers. Some wildlife person at your school might have to get in there and saw off the horns.
Oh, well, they were right outside that building, so. Hopefully you, someone inside sees this poor deer.
They were taking themselves to get help.
They were like, I need this. I guess give a general outline of like everyone's sun sign, because that's what people know. But then like, what's the other stuff?
Yeah, I can even give you guys a little bit of like an overview of the big three, and we can kind of start there. And I wrote down your guys's big threes, so we could delve into that. There's tons of directions we can go.
Okay.
Well, so Serena brings up a good point that usually when somebody asks you what your sign is, they're asking about your sun sign, but there's really three big ones that you can talk about that like mean different parts of your personality. So your sun sign is kind of like your overall, your general emotions, the way you approach life in general. And then you have like your moon sign, which is more like your inside emotions, like your internal feelings, like your moods, that sort of thing. And then third, you have a rising sign. And that one is about how you're perceived by people outside of yourself, or how the rest of the world perceives you. And so you can just say, oh, I'm a blank sun, and that'll tell people it's like something about you. But if you say your big three, you're really going to give people like a bigger overview of your personality, if that makes sense. So do you guys know your big threes, all of you?
I did the CoStar thing.
Yeah. You did? Okay.
Yeah. Awesome. I've been told them many times, and I don't remember.
I was going to say probably by me, so I'm sorry. We could definitely go into that, or we could talk a little bit about the rest of the planets, because basically, I don't know a ton about astrology. The amount that I know kind of scratches the surface, because there's all of the stuff in your birth chart that you can kind of see by just looking at it, like the planets and what sign they're in. But then there's even more like about the way the planets connect, and like their angles to each other makes different things mean different things. I mean, it gets really, really crazy. So we could just talk a little bit about like the rest of the planets. I know, Serena, you were kind of talking about like, what does like Mercury in retrograde mean? Like everybody talks about that. So I don't know which direction you guys want to go in first.
I guess maybe talk just, giving a general summary of the other planets and like what the chart means.
Yeah.
Even so including the houses thing.
The houses too? Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. Yeah. I don't actually have those written down, but
oh, just like what it means to have this house. Yeah.
100%. So basically, all of this that you're talking about is all encompassed in your birth chart. And you get a birth chart the second you're born. And it's basically like if you were standing and looking up at the sky the second you were born, and you drew a big circle all the way around you, all of the different planets would be in a different part of the sky. And that all means something different. And so each of the planets represents something like a part of our character. The astrology that I know most is like kind of Greco-Roman. So all of the planets are like Venus, Mercury, Mars, and gods that you probably would have already heard about. And so you kind of know what they do. So like Venus, god of
love.
Exactly.
Mars is like, it was a test.
No, I'm sorry. Okay. I didn't warn you. I'm sorry.
No, you're good.
Or like Mars is the god of war and aggression. And so all of those characteristics in those planets then are affected by where it is in the sky, which determines what sign that planet is in. And the signs are a little more specific. They're kind of like the adjectives. So it's kind of like Aries is really passionate and fiery. Scorpio is really independent, a little mysterious. And so that all of those adjectives will affect how the planet acts for that person. And then Serena, what you were talking about with the houses, each of the signs that those planets could fall into are also, so there's 12 signs, there's 12 houses, and those houses are more like areas of your life. So like one could be money, one could be family, one could be creativity, one could be your work life or your house life. And I don't remember what all of them are because it gets very complicated.
Yeah. But
essentially, then that takes the planet and the sign and attributes it to a certain part of your life and makes it even more specific past just, I have, you know, blank and blank sign.
Yeah.
Oh, so okay. If you're on CoStar, this is why I like CoStar. Some people don't, because the advice it gives you is totally wonky. It's like, you know, go chase a firefly today. And you're like, what, CoStar? But it'll tell you all of the planets. It'll tell you what sign they're in. And then it'll give you a little blurb right at the end that says what house it's in. And actually, I'm going to look it up on my phone just to give you an example, because it says it really concisely. And I feel like it exemplifies it well.
So oh gosh, you can add friends on here.
Yeah, right. Add your friends. You can see what parts like of your chart is compatible and not. Like, I remember I had an ex-girlfriend and I looked her up and we were like all frowny faces. And I was like, oh no. Didn't last long after that, but that's fine.
On Snapchat, it will tell you if your sun signs are compatible.
Exactly.
Oh, really?
So for instance, my Venus planet, my Venus is in Gemini. And so this CoStar says, your Venus is in Gemini, meaning your romantic side is dynamic, curious, and easily bored. And then later it says, it is in your seventh house, meaning that for you, love is often expressed in relationships and long-term partnerships. And that's where it gets really, really specific. And you can kind of delve pretty deeply into what all of these different things mean for you and like really specifically in different parts of your life. So yeah, that's kind of your basic birth chart. There's all the planets. You can kind of look up what all of them mean. But like Mercury, for example, is the planet of communication, language, and intelligence. And so when people say Mercury in retrograde, they're talking about Mercury. And then retrograde is this thing where planets look like they're going backwards from the perspective of Earth, just because of different orbits and spins. It's like just a reference point thing. And essentially classical astrology sees that as like negative or energy blocking, or like it's just backwards. And so then everybody's like, oh my God, I sent that shitty text to my boyfriend. Mercury's in retrograde, you know? It's like, okay, maybe. Okay. Or we just shouldn't have sent that text.
An excuse for bad behavior.
A big excuse.
Yeah.
And that's sort of where I feel like astrology has a lot of interesting parts, but it can be used really poorly. And I think that's a great example. Or like, yeah, I am just really crappy to my friends because I'm a Scorpio. Like, no. Yeah. No. You're just crappy. So, yeah.
Okay, nice. Yeah, I like that. I like astrology is like fun, but when it comes to like determining, okay, will I be friends with this person or not? I'm not going to be like, well, their sign is this and
exactly.
We're not compatible. So I guess not. Sorry.
And if you ever meet somebody who isn't that way, run. run the other direction. They're not worth your time. That's exhausting behavior.
Uh-huh. Oh my gosh.
Well, just because I think we all have agency and every sign has like positives and negatives that you could take from it. So it's really all about how you interpret things for yourself and how you engage with them. But it is a cool tool to, like, when you meet somebody, talk about your big three. Like, if I do or don't like identify with one of my signs, that tells you a lot about me, even if I don't like my sign. You know what I mean? Because I could be like, oh, I'm an Aries, but I don't feel like one. And then I could be like, oh, why? Tell me more. And that's a cool like gateway to really have like more deep personality conversations than you normally would with just like, hey, what's your job? Which is like what conversations start like. It's so boring.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Why does Gemini have such a bad rap? Because my best friend and my boyfriend are both Geminis and I get along with them just fine.
Yes.
Maybe.
I have heard that too, though. I think that's BS. I don't think Geminis are all bad. I think, so it's the sign is the twins. So it's considered by a lot of people to be two-faced. Like they could see somebody acting one way with this group of people and another with another. And that's fine though. I think that's where it could be a positive or a negative, because I see Geminis as like charismatic, like easy to talk to. They have a lot of ease when they walk into a room, kind of a thing. But you know, I just think anybody wants to shit on anybody.
Yeah. Yeah. And Snapchat says we're compatible. Taurus and Geminis are compatible.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. And there are definitely certain signs that are more compatible with others. And it probably depends on other things in your chart too. Who knows? But if it works, it works. That's okay.
So what does it mean? Because this is something I like heard and I was like, oh, okay. That Aries is the youngest sign and Pisces is the oldest. What does that mean?
Excuse me. I'm so sorry. Yes. Okay. Yeah. So there's a lot of different types of astrology and a lot of different ways that people interpret the zodiac and interpret the houses and all this sort of stuff. And so one of the sects of astrology sees it as kind of like an evolution, sort of like not quite reincarnation, but like you start at Aries and then you move through the rest of the zodiac and then you get to Pisces. And so Pisces is considered the oldest sign. Mm-hmm. And I think some people see it, I want to correct myself, as like a moving through different stages of lives kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Or they just see it as a way to say that Aries is a little naive and Pisces is really wise. You know what I mean? Which is, you know, probably true. I feel that a lot in my own life. I don't know that it has much more implication than that. Just kind of another identifier of the signs.
Okay, yeah. That's cool.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Should we get into us, our things? Or should Anna introduce herself first?
Oh.
I could.
Yeah. Let's have Anna introduce herself.
Okay, great. So my big three, to people who are familiar with astrology, it always shocks them because it sounds like a lot, and it is. So my sun sign is Aries, which I already explained. Aries is very passionate, very impulsive, a little immature, totally the youngest sign. Like that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of just how I feel in general. And then my moon sign, which is kind of my emotions and my inner self and my moods, is also Aries. So that's kind of a mess. I'd love a little bit more wisdom for my moon sign. Okay. And then my rising sign, which is how other people perceive me or kind of how I come off, is a Scorpio, which is that kind of independent, self-assured kind of person. And Scorpio is kind of a you like them or you don't kind of a sign, you know, and I've felt that way my whole life. So when I found that out, I was like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. And so that's my big three. Total mess.
Nice.
But yeah, and like the rest of my chart, all the rest of the planets, a lot of fire, which I just feel passionately and intensely about most things. So that tracks. Yeah.
Oh yeah. So like there are certain signs that have to relate to like one of the four elements.
Yeah. So there's 12 signs and they're broken up into four by the elements. It's fire, water, earth, and air. And they're kind of just the same that you would associate, you know, water is flexible. Earth is kind of stubborn and solid, that kind of thing. They're also split into like seasons, if that makes sense. So like the beginning of each element season is called the cardinal sign, because that's like the leader. They have a lot of those like headstrong qualities. The middle is fixed sign. So that's like your Taurus, Aquarius. Those are stabilizers. And then there's mutable, which is at the end of the season. And that's like the really adaptable, older, wiser signs like Pisces. And so there's lots of different categories that the signs fall into that gives you kind of a sense of what the sign is going to be like without even having to know much about it. But yeah, I'm sorry, I'm getting off topic.
No, I asked you that, so thank you.
Yeah, I did not know that.
Cool. Yeah. Well, so I have your guys' written down. Do you want me to just go through them?
Start with Tori.
Okay, cool.
And you can like comment like maybe at the end or during whatever.
Or
like,
just yikes, girlfriend, you're as like, you're reading it.
Yeah, I absolutely.
If you're like, yes, she does that. Or like, yeah,
or just go,
all right, so Tori's sun sign is a Virgo. Virgo is practical, it's hard on itself, and it's kind and giving. So that's just kind of Tori as a whole. And I should preface this, actually. I haven't said this yet. I really like to see astrology as a tool for self-reflection. It should never be seen, well, in my opinion, as like cut and dry. Like, this is who you are. You don't get to change it. You don't get to think about it. That's silly to me, or determining you or putting you in a box. So if at any point you're like, I don't know that sounds like me, tell me. That's so interesting. You know what I mean? Because I think that's why we like it, is because you can think about it in terms of yourself and decide if you agree or not. Anyway.
Okay.
Tori definitely agrees with Virgo. She keeps with her company, the that's Virgo right. PC. Yeah. Social media info in the description.
Famous plug. Yeah. I love it.
Maybe at the end, I can go over why I made Virgo.
Yeah.
Tori is very giving. She still pays for my Apple Music.
I do. So,
but she's too lazy to change it. So that's probably in there somewhere.
Well, we changed it once and it went back. So.
Well, that's your problem.
Well, happy birthday.
There you go. All right, so that's Tori's sun sign. So Tori's moon sign, which is her mood and or her moods and her emotions, is a Taurus. And Taurus is considered to be very sensory, like they like nice things, nice clothes, nice smells. So that could be things that maybe soothe your emotions, maybe things that regulate you. Taurus is also very rooted in its ways, and it's got reliable instincts, like you can trust your gut, which what a wonderful moon sign. You know what I mean? To be able to trust your instincts. I love that. And then Tori's rising, which is how other people perceive her, is a Sagittarius, which is all about new adventure and experiences. And it's bubbly. It's wanderlusty. It's fun. We like Sag.
Saggy.
Yeah.
I don't know how much I agree with that.
But really?
Sure. Do I come across as bubbly?
Yes.
Bubbly,
In some respects.
Like, am I bubbly though?
Your literal cadence is like bubbly.
I guess. Giggly.
There's also,
I feel like,
oh no, go ahead.
Like, I feel like I can see I come off as bubbly sometimes, but like sometimes I'm just really shy.
Yeah.
So then I feel like I'm not, but and that's fair. Like, with my friends or like when I'm talking to patients and stuff, people at work.
Yeah. McKenna, were you going to say something?
Like she said, it's how you're perceived. So you might feel shy on the inside, but if you're coming off like that, because when you're talking to a stranger, talking on the phone, especially like the first few podcast episodes, your register was high.
Hello, everybody.
You're smiling and you're pleasant. You know what I mean? Like stuff like that. I wanted to add that the rising sign, some people believe that it goes away a little bit with age because it was the first sign that was coming over the horizon when you were born. And it's considered to be kind of like a mask sometimes. And so theoretically with age, you could learn to not present that way, or you could not identify with presenting that way. So it's kind of a grain of salt sign, in my opinion, but it's still fun to think about, right?
Cool. Yeah, nice.
All right. So should we move to McKenna?
Sure.
Awesome. Yeah.
All right. So McKenna, your sun sign, your overall is Taurus. And like I said with Tori, Taurus is very sensory. Like, it likes food, colors, feelings. Taurus is a really hard worker, like crazy hardworking. Oh, I
do work 6 to 7 days a week.
Okay, McKenna.
So there you go. You might need a break, but still. I've also heard that you like love putting tons of spice and spices on your food. So, like, that could be a way that that's presenting for you. I don't know. Mm-hmm.
It might also just be the vegan trying to add flavor.
I wasn't gonna say it.
But there's a variety that I choose from.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
You clean me out of my paprika when you
paprika. Paprika. It doesn't really have a spice.
I thought it was like cinnamon.
No, you'd use like my entire thing of paprika. I was out.
It's next just for time color.
We're visiting Tori, we're going to try the bacon banana peels.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, that's a great idea.
I'm dying to try.
But only in Tori's house.
Right. Not, I'm not doing that myself. I'm too scared.
Yeah.
All right. So then McKenna's moon is Aries. Aries wants immediate results. It is very passionate and fiery. It's also very tender, though. It's very sensitive. Aries is kind of like the toddler of the zodiac. It's got a lot of feelings, you know, which can be really cute, but it can be a lot. And Aries also doesn't like to dwell. So that could all relate to maybe, I don't know how you feel internally. I'm not going to say that that's how you feel, but.
No, yeah, because I always thought it was weird how I can just like get over stuff, even though I'm a Taurus and I'm definitely stubborn sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I might hold on to that for like a week or two, but after that, I'm like, whatever.
No, yeah. No way. You hold on to every single grudge. Are you kidding me?
You're like, Mom, you owe me 53 cents from 2006.
Not anymore.
She let that go and she went, I'll take it out of your Christmas gift.
No.
Yeah, okay.
No, there's
I'm coming from a different perspective than your friend and other.
How dare
social
you
life.
Gaslight for the moon sign. Okay, please.
That's why it's the moon sign, not even a real planet.
But very impactful. Think about the tides, Serena. Yes. Okay.
I studied the tides.
See, you get it. Okay. And then your rising sign is Aquarius. And Aquarius, people notice you. You enjoy shocking people, but are rarely shocked, was one that I found really interesting, a descriptor. So I don't know. I don't know if that's you. I feel like when I met you, because we've only met once, maybe twice in real life.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember I am definitely like the clown. I'm always trying to get people to laugh and like get a reaction out of people. And I could not get McKenna. I was like, oh, I need her to laugh at something I say. Yeah. Eventually I got you, but maybe that's part of that.
Yeah, that is true. McKenna's always very like, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
It's rare that she's like, what? Like, very rare.
Yes. I feel that. That's fair.
So what do you think, McKenna?
I definitely agree. Like, at the zoo today, we all went to lunch together. And I was just, like, sitting in the back, minding my own business in the car. And, like, the two keepers up front were just, like, laughing, giggling. And then the lead keeper next to me just turns to me and she's like, what, like, what's your reaction to this? I'm just like, it's just entertaining. I'm just
hanging.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that is very Aquarius to me. It could be aloof, but also it could just be like, you're just thinking it in your head. You don't need to like show it all the time, you know? Mm-hmm. So why not, you know?
Yeah. And maybe you don't feel that like societal pressure to make people feel good when they tell a joke. Like, you don't need to be like, oh, I need to like show them that was a good joke, they put in good effort. You're just like,
like
that was good, I don't need to show it though.
Yeah.
I do that, and then sometimes I laugh and like they didn't actually say a joke. Like, why did you laugh?
They're like, no, seriously, and I'm like,
Yeah. Or, like, or sometimes, because I have a lot of patients at work who speak primarily Spanish. And so, mm-hmm. like, they'll be working with a translator, but they'll say something that I can tell was a joke and I'll laugh. And they're like, why do you laugh?
You don't know what the joke was.
Like,
I get it, though. I get it.
Like,
you're being polite.
It's, yeah.
Be a part of it.
I'm just used to, like, just laughing.
Like, tone matching. Yeah.
I feel like,
yeah.
I don't know. Yeah.
I get that. McKenna's like, can't relate.
Yeah. Yeah.
McKenna's like, I only laugh if it's worth it.
That's right.
They only get my laugh if it's worth it.
Then you know it's really good.
Or just to her taste.
Or you just caught me in the right mood.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Nice.
All right, Serena, should we?
Okay.
All right. So Serena's sun is in Pisces. Pisces is tremendously understanding, almost to their own detriment. They're very misunderstood often. I personally have had a vendetta against Pisces, and I shouldn't. Like, I preach a big game of, oh, be nice, be accepting of all signs. I've had some rough Pisces experiences, but I love Serena, so it's clearly not right. You know what I mean? And then the last thing about Pisces is it's very sensitive itself, and it's sensitive to the needs of others. So it's just a very sensitive, watery sign. And like Serena mentioned, it's the oldest in the zodiac. So I think there's a lot of wisdom there. I think the Pisces that I haven't liked have not been tapped. For their wisdom.
That's another thing we can talk about, because animals are associated with signs also.
Right, like right? The signs of each, or the animal of each sign, or
yeah,
like,
or is it like the constellation?
Yeah.
Where do animals come in?
Yeah, we can talk about that. I don't know much about it, but we definitely can.
Okay.
Bookmark. We can figure it
out. Yeah, oh, bookmark. Yeah.
Bookmark, yeah. All right, so then Serena's moon is also a water sign. It's in Cancer, and Cancer is highly empathetic to other people's moods. It can be clinging and dwelling, but it's very, very kind. Like, maybe the nicest sign of the zodiac, I think. Like, whenever somebody says you're a Cancer, like, when I hear somebody's a Cancer, I'm like, oh.
Sweetie.
Cry a lot and yeah. Care so much. You know what I mean?
My sweetie. Oh.
So that's your inner talk. That's your emotions and your moods.
Mm.
Do you feel like that tracks for you? Do you feel
I read something about it, and it was saying like Cancers can sometimes feel like they're a martyr.
Mm.
Like, and I was like, oh, I do have a God complex sometimes.
Fair enough. Maybe you are, though. Maybe you are just that, like, nice and good.
Maybe not to them.
With your sisters in the chat, maybe not.
I've seen the God complex come out in her.
Yeah.
You guys are so funny. I love this. It's like you get to hear about yourself, and then you get read also.
Yeah.
All right. And then your last one, your rising sign is in Gemini, which is an air sign. Gemini is clever, and it's either seen, this is kind of where the two-faced thing comes in, as bubbly and fun, or also as kind of like cool and witty on the other hand. And so these could be kind of like, and not, it wouldn't be just that, but that's kind of where the flexibility comes in. That's where people might see you as just being like a real people person. And then Gemini is also one to analyze. So yeah,
I do think it is that, like, playing to two different groups. Not playing, yeah. I'm not trying to play with
no
people,
but
anything.
I think, but yeah, yeah, like I yeah, think like read that as ingenuine, but actually I think it's just a learned skill, you know.
Yeah, I do think I switch in between that, the fun and bubbly, like Tori will come off to people, mm-hmm. but then just to other people I try to have that cool witty side.
Yeah.
I mean,
I just want to know where her grumpiness comes in.
Well, we should look
everywhere.
Serena's Mars sign, because that's where aggression and...
Oh, I'm an Aries Mars sign, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Is that a bad match?
Yeah, no, that's a lot. So the same way that the houses are ruled by a sign, the planets are also ruled by signs. I think Venus is ruled by Gemini. Mars is ruled by Aries.
That's my God complex.
All intensity. Bury that though. You know what I mean? Like, it's the toddler, center of the universe when you're angry.
So, hell yeah.
Maybe, you know, maybe that's where that is. I don't know. Yeah, me too. Feel it.
Yeah.
Feel
it. I can see that. Serena, we always joke, she has very specific grumpy days.
Mm.
Where we can tell through text, just like one text is all she gotta send, and we're like, oh, it's on her wrong side of the bed days.
It's hard. I hate days like that.
Yeah, we're like, okay, don't push Serena today.
But then you do.
You don't know how many times Serena's been like, I'm done with this podcast. It's over. And then, like, this happened very recently. And I was like, you know what? I'm just not going to respond. And a few days later, she's like, so do you guys want to talk about Halloween for the next episode?
Yeah.
We move on.
Yeah, exactly. That could be also all the water and air in Serena's chart. Mm-hmm. Means that she feels a lot of things and maybe more than one thing at one time. That's a lot. It's a lot of feeling.
Yes. Yeah. Do you guys know what the squonk is?
No. Okay.
It's when you were reading Serena's stuff, it was reminding me of this. So the squonk is like a cryptid. I forget where it's supposed to live, but you know, like Bigfoot and like,
oh,
you know, okay. Like cryptids, mm-hmm. Mothman, whatever.
Okay.
Okay. So the squonk is one
cool.
In the US somewhere. And it's like this short, fat creature that cries.
Flynn.
And like when it wants to disappear, it just cries and cries until it dissolves into a puddle.
Oh no!
So I'm not making this up. Like, this is like folklore.
This is real.
Like the squonk. Yeah. And so, like, you were describing some stuff, and I was like, oh, the squonk.
Oh no, I'm a squonk sign. I'm a squonk rising.
Squonk sign.
Squonk rising.
So yeah, please go like look up the squonk.
I'm going to. Yeah. Let's see. Oh, Serena asked about animals in the signs. Mm-hmm. I don't know a ton about it. Mm-hmm. I do know that all of the signs are constellations, and essentially it's just, you know, the sky mm-hmm. in a big circle, and the different animals kind of just encompass different aspects of the signs. Like Aries is the ram, just very stubborn, bullheaded kind of a thing. Gemini is the twins, like I said, so two-faced or malleable, whichever one you want to say it is. Pisces is the fish.
Yeah.
The little swirl. And that's where I don't really know what each of them is supposed to represent, but I'm sure that they each have very strong meanings.
I mean, the bull for Taurus, stubborn. That too.
Absolutely. 100%. And then there's some weird ones. Like Capricorn is like a mer goat. It is half goat and half mermaid or fish.
Of course. Or something. Yes.
I know Virgo is like the virgin, quote unquote, but it's also like the water bearer. So mm-hmm. someone who, I don't know what bearing water would be.
Get me some water.
Get down to earth, maybe like life-giving, that kind of thing. I don't know. This is sort of where, I mean, I have books that I've delved into, but not even enough about all of these different aspects and the history and the meaning behind every little thing, because it's all there. So you can go really crazy if you want and really get into it.
Yeah.
Have you ever been to Grand Central Station?
No.
Because like in the main like center part of it, they have the zodiac constellations on the ceiling.
Oh, that's cool. That's awesome. Well, and that's what's interesting too, is like we were just at Versailles and there's so much reference to zodiacs and the planets and the gods associated with each planet, even though it's like super Christian. So I think it has like a lot more relevance in history than we know. or mm-hmm. we realize. So
yeah.
very interesting.
I feel like too, maybe back then it was seen more as a science and less as like a spiritual or religious kind of thing. So it was
right.
more like they took it more seriously almost.
Yeah, maybe. Definitely. And that's, I think, too, where the different sects kind of come in. Like, I know there's like Egyptian astrology versus like Greco-Roman. And that's sort of like where it is almost like religion, where you see kind of like cultural impacts in the study. And that, I mean, that gets super interesting too. Yeah. And the same people that were inventing calculus were the ones that were doing astrology. Mm-hmm. So if anybody ever tells you it's stupid to like astrology, tell them that Galileo is stupid then, because that's like who we're talking about here. Also, this is another astrology isn't that stupid fact, is that a lot of like billionaires and like fancy corporate people, Wall Street people will use astrologers and astrologers' knowledge to predict markets, to predict rises and falls, to predict behavior in people. And I mean, it's it must just be the capitalist that's deep within me and probably within all of us that I'm like, if they're wasting like, or potentially wasting their money on it, it's gotta be legit. You know what I mean? Like they're not gonna risk and gamble their money away. Mm-hmm. So right. I have all these little things because a lot of people have told me astrology is dumb over time.
Well, that's like, Tori was telling us once how, and I don't know if we recorded it or not, but it was, she was saying when there's like a full moon and she's working at the hospital, it like,
oh my gosh,
gets more cases or it gets crazy 100%. For no reason. And it's just like,
yes,
so cool.
I grew up with my parents who were both doctors, both telling me that, that full moons make people act different or something goes on, because everybody who's ever worked in an ER, like Tori will tell you, or any sort of hospital situation that, mm-hmm. things get wild on full moons. And I don't know why. It's crazy. Yeah. I have no idea.
A lot but of like doulas and midwives I've been working with too say a lot of people tend to go into labor with the full moon.
Oh, crazy.
Weird.
I wonder, like this might be too specific that like it's not a well-known thing, but I wonder like if you're born during an eclipse or a full moon or some sort of event like... Mm-hmm. Does that, how that alter things? That's just
yeah. Or like what type of blue or full moon, like a blood moon, a blue moon, if that makes any difference.
I know there is so much moon study out there. I wonder if the answers aren't out there, because I would feel silly to ignore the fact that, yeah, the moon affects the tides and it affects like all these different, and how all the planets affect each other's orbits. And all of this is like such a careful balance. And we're so little, like we're made up of so much water. It just would make sense to me that somehow something is affected. And it's interesting because my mom, for instance, is like, she's now menopausal. She doesn't have a period cycle like I do. And I've been like really looking into my cycle, trying to see when I feel a certain way. And she's been using the moon to track her emotions basically. And she's like, I do feel more sensitive during this time of the moon cycle. And I feel more productive during this one. So it's fascinating. And I think it has a lot more to do with our everyday lives than we realize. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
But also so hard to interpret all of it. Like, that's why I think the whole Mercury in retrograde thing is kind of silly, because you're not going to be like, oh, well, Jupiter is doing this thing that makes me feel this way. Like, probably not. Maybe, but I kind of doubt it.
Yeah. Otherwise, I feel like that would be happening all the time.
Yeah.
And so it's like, no, that's just who you are.
Probably.
The other week after the Jeffrey Dahmer story came out on Netflix, at the vet clinic, we looked up like zodiac signs and serial killers.
Oh.
So the four most common signs with 46 serial killers each were Scorpio, Cancer, Sagittarius, and Pisces.
We're so sensitive. We take everything to heart.
Bad, okay?
Yeah.
And the two tied for the least at 27 serial killers each. Which, I mean, that isn't that big of a difference from 27 to 46.
Still a lot.
But they were Gemini and Taurus.
Interesting.
Really?
Fascinating.
And then we found this one site, the deadliest signs, so like having the most kills like per person, were Capricorns, and Taurus were the fewest. The deadliest element was water.
Fascinating. I'm very interested in all of those correlations and things. Like, I don't want to use astrology to predict anything. Like, I'm not going to say, sorry, girl, you're a Scorpio, so you're going to be a serial killer. I don't know what to tell you. But yeah. Like, looking backwards and seeing the patterns it's fascinating.
Yeah, that is really cool.
And let's see, Ted Bundy was a Sagittarius, and then Jeffrey Dahmer was a Gemini.
Interesting. Well, Sagittarius, they say, did you say Ted Bundy?
Mm-hmm.
First one? Yeah, they're very charismatic. They walk into a room and they can light it up. Mm-hmm. He was, you know, a charmer in all the worst ways. So there you go.
Mm-hmm.
That's your sign, Tori. That's you. Yeah. No, I'm just kidding.
I watched one of the Netflix movies about Ted Bundy, with Zac Efron, The Shockingly Evil, and whatever.
Yeah.
And I didn't know about Ted Bundy before this, and I was like, oh my God, he's innocent. I think he's innocent. I felt so stupid at the end of the movie. I was like, oh God.
I love that. Like, but he's so cute. It couldn't have been him.
Zac Efron, no.
Amazing.
It's like, ooh, yikes.
Well, yeah, do you guys have any other questions or any other ways that like astrology creeps into your life? I don't know.
What's your take on horoscopes?
Oh my God, so stupid. I think I'm glad you asked, because this was something else I wanted to address for sure. Like the kind of horoscopes that you used to read in like a magazine, or that you get an email in your inbox that says every week, you know, you're going to come into money, or a friend is going to call you. That is like the reason people think astrology is so much stupider than it is, because those are predictive, which we already know is not a good use for astrology usually. And I feel like they're just trying to give people like a vague answer to things. They're trying to give people something that's nice and black and white that they can cling to, and they can feel like, oh, this is what I'm doing this week. You know what I mean? I'm looking for this thing. And I just don't think it's useful. I don't know. The same way I don't love the way CoStar tries to tell you stuff. You know what I mean? I'm like, let me just interpret things for myself. Let me wrestle with that. It's not something that I think you need daily reminders about, or that you need to track the transits of different planets to figure out how it's going to affect you that week. I think you could go pretty crazy with all of that. And horoscopes is, I think, the start of that, you know? So yeah. Stay away from them. They're not telling you anything interesting.
Yeah. Horoscopes feel like they're on the same level as fortune cookies, where it's like, if you read it, you'll find a way to apply it to your life.
Right. And that's, yeah. I mean, I think that's where people too think that astrology is just this huge, vague thing that everyone is just seeing themselves in. And to a point, that's not incorrect. I mean, I think it is something that's interpretive, and you need to be thinking about it in order to get anything from it. But as you can kind of see, when you start really breaking it down, it gets so specific, you know, it's not just like, you are a kind person. Like, that's how I break it down for you guys. But like, if you were to really look at each of the charts that I sent you, it gets crazy specific, like paragraphs on each of the signs and all of their connections to each other. So I think that there's a lot of, yeah, specifics and like intricacies to be found, that horoscopes just do the opposite. You're exactly right. Oh, I love that you brought that up. So interesting.
Other than CoStar, are there like other resources you prefer, or like apps or websites you prefer?
I like the layout of CoStar the best, just for apps. Astro Future is another good one. That one gets pretty specific. Also, The Pattern. Those are the three top apps that I would say. So CoStar, Astro Future, and The Pattern. They give you the most information without being overwhelming, and they don't try and do too much of the, here's what's going on in your life today, trying to tell you. Another good way to look at your full natal chart is if you go online and you just Google Cafe Astrology. That's where I actually did each of your guys's breakdowns that I sent Tori. And it just lets you see your whole chart as a circle, which is kind of cool. It really lets you kind of play with different aspects and see how different things connect. And it lets you explore a lot. But there's so many online that if you just kind of Google and play around, you'll find ones that you like or that speak to you. Because that's the biggest thing, is because there's so much information, it can be really easy to get lost and like get overwhelmed. But those are some good ones, I think, that break it down in a nice way without oversimplifying it. So
yeah, I saw in my circle that like there aren't a lot of crisscrossing lines like I see in a lot.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure that means something. I think each of the crisscrossing lines are what are called, are they called conjunctions or something like that, where basically each of the angles that they create mean different relationships between the two planets. And so the ones where your signs do cross over, where the planets do cross, would mean a relationship. But the fact that you don't have very many doesn't necessarily mean it's a good thing or a bad thing. It could be a good thing because you just don't have a lot of conflict in your chart. You know what I mean? Because a lot of times the crossing and the crossing is conflict or things that don't work well together. So there's a lot of different theories about that. And then also like the lumping of where your signs lay, because you'll find that you don't have a planet in every single house, which doesn't mean you're not represented in those houses. It just means that's not where I think the strength of your chart lies, kind of a thing.
Yeah, mine are all concentrated on the left side.
Yeah, mine are too. That's really interesting. And I don't know exactly what that means for us. Probably that's where we attribute more of our personalities, maybe. I'm not sure. But it's really interesting too. If you do start to get into astrology, you can go and have your chart read to you by an astrologer. A lot of times they work in like massage parlors and like, you know, like other sort of hippy dippy shops. And I got my chart read once and it was fascinating. Like she was whipping out some stuff and like some of the relationships between the planets that really read me to filth in the best way. I mean, it was shocking. And it was just because she's trained and she knows exactly what to look for. She gave me a whole printout of all of that stuff. And it was just a really cool way to crack into it without having to learn everything yourself, because it's too much to learn yourself. So if you get into it, that's a cool thing to do.
That sounds really fun.
Oh, yeah.
It's having it read.
I brought my mom with me. It was so fun.
The track guys should try them.
They should.
Oh, they've done a...
Eugene's talked about them with their like general signs, I think.
Yeah.
Cute.
Yeah.
I would want to watch that for sure.
They did like a podcast.
It was good because it was like Eugene would say a blanket statement and ask the group, who do you think this applies to? And they would try to narrow it down. And
that's then cute.
Most of the time, I think they got it pretty right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I like that. I think that's cool.
Fun.
Yeah. McKenna, you said that. You said Ryan's a Taurus?
No, I said Ryan's a Gemini. Oh, Ryan and my best friend are Geminis.
And Kevin is a Scorpio. Serena, what's Nick?
He's also a Pisces. Is that weird to be Pisces on Pisces?
No. I think you guys are going to have some really nice crying sessions together.
Oh, God.
You're going to really get in your feels, watch The Notebook or something. But like, I don't think that's a bad thing. It probably means it's a very nurturing and mutually understanding relationship, because I know both of you and you're both super sweet. Whereas if I didn't know both of you, I'd be like, fine, you got to watch out.
Double crying.
And like, I'm an Aries and Maddie's a Leo. So we're both fiery. We both have a lot of intensity, and a lot of times that's good. Sometimes it's not, but we work on it. You know, that's all. We get through the intensity together. It's fine.
Yeah. Does like the rising sign or the moon sign and stuff relate to like when within your time frame you were born?
Yeah. So the rising sign changes every 2 hours. So that's why that one's important to know your birth time. That's why when people ask you about your big three, you got to text your mom, ask her what time you were born. Because down to the minute, it almost down to the minute, it matters. Versus the sun and the moon, like the rest of the planets, the day that you're born are going to be at a certain point in the sky, I think. Okay. I don't think the time affects the other two as much. I'm pretty sure that's just based on date and location, because then it's basically just a snapshot of where everything was. Mm-hmm. And then the time is what was coming over the horizon.
Oh yeah. So, cause I was 3:14 AM and I'm an Aries moon.
Yeah.
So it's the second time.
That's why that makes sense. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Totally. It's very interesting. And I mean, I know when I first looked up my chart, I was off by 12 hours. I thought I was AM or I was PM or something like that. And it was really interesting because I was reading about it and being like, okay, I guess that's me. Like, fine. I sort of see it. I sort of don't. And then when it turned out to be Scorpio instead of Cancer, I was like, oh, okay. Well, there, like that makes so much more sense. So I think it does make a difference. So fun, you guys. This is, I love talking about
this. This is fun. Yeah. I feel like I've learned a lot.
Yeah. I think the biggest takeaways I would leave you guys with is there's no good or bad signs. Don't let anybody tell you different. That's not what we're doing here. Anything, you have agency to take any way. So there's no good or bad signs. And that I think if you use astrology for like self-reflection and trying to understand how you communicate with other people better, or how you communicate with your partners and your friends better, I can't see how it isn't helpful. Do you know what I mean? As long as you use it as the tool that it can be, it's just a cool practice. It's cool to think about your personality and try and flesh out different parts of yourself that you might not normally in everyday life. So go at it.
Yeah.
Dive in, dig deep. It's so fun.
And it's nice to hear like the positive stuff. Be like, oh, they think that about me.
Yeah.
But then also like good to hear like the more negative stuff and be like, yeah, I guess I should work on my stubbornness or
yeah, it's both. Exactly.
Yeah. My anger.
Oh my gosh. And there's so many books, you guys. Like I have books specifically on like the relationships between different signs for like different types of relationships. I have books on the histories. I have books on the charts. So I mean, it's such a cool open-ended field. I love it.
Nice.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you for letting me gab at you about it.
Oh my gosh. Thank you for coming.
Do you guys
Kevin has been
do...
asking us constantly. Yeah. She'll constantly text me like, have you talked to Anna yet?
Like, get there.
Do you guys want to do a quiz?
Yeah. Yeah. I like the first one because they'll try and guess what we are.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, that's always a game that I'm so bad at. Is like at a party, well, like, so you like astrology? Guess my sign. I'm like, you know,
yeah, they try and catch you in it.
The only one I swear I can tell every time is Scorpio. I swear I can call out a Scorpio from across the room. I don't know what it is, but I've been right a lot. So,
what are Scorpios like? Because obviously, Kevin's a Scorpio.
Yeah,
they have sort of a quiet intensity about them. We're kind of like the same way I was telling you how I really try and make people laugh. And like, that's kind of my MO. When I can't seem to like get to somebody, oftentimes they're a Scorpio. And then if later they have that sort of thing where their eyes stare into your soul, that's a Scorpio. Hard to describe, but you know it when you see it.
Yeah, this is the part we usually cut out.
What, people don't like silence and my drink clinking? I don't get it.
Well, that's very ASMR if you want to do an ASMR with.
Have you done it yet, Serena?
Made ASMR?
Yeah.
I made a project or a video for a project in the spring, but it wasn't that good of ASMR.
You didn't do your doctor ASMR?
In the waiting room.
Right, I remember that.
Play with like those kid toys where it's like the beads following the wire.
So great.
No, I haven't done it yet.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna need you to sign here.
All right. This week's quiz, which again, if you wanna do it along with us, the link is in the description. But do me a favor and don't freak out when we guess your zodiac sign based on the hobbies you choose. And the caption is, water signs love artsy activity. Would you agree, Anna?
Yeah, definitely.
All right. Which activity would you want to do on a sunny day? Hiking, camping, fishing, or kayaking?
Hard question.
Kayaking?
Yeah, kayaking.
Kayaking for me too.
That was what I was going to say too. Wow.
Yeah.
Let's go kayaking, guys.
Yeah, maybe we should go kayaking.
Let's go.
All right. Which activity would you want to do inside? Baking, scrapbooking, sewing, or drawing?
Baking. I'm gonna have to say drawing.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's right. What you're like, you do draw.
I do like drawing. Yes.
Yeah. Oh, I have the Pisces sticker. Tori gave me one from you.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I have the Taurus sticker.
That's true. If you guys want to check out my astrology stickers, my business is alittlepebbled.com. It's everywhere.
Link in the description. We'll link.
We'll link it.
Link in bio.
I would do baking.
Yeah, baking.
All right. Choose another activity to do outside. Gardening, running, archery, or canoeing.
Ooh. I'm going to say gardening.
Yeah, canoeing gardening. Is like kayaking, except with more people. I don't want to do that. I'll run.
I'll do archery. Say,
who's going to choose running? But
Well, walking isn't an option.
Fair.
All right. Choose a fun activity. Photography, knitting, crocheting, or pottery.
I like that they have both knitting and crocheting.
Yeah, there's a difference.
It's very different.
There's a difference and y'all need to know.
Completely different vibe.
I've been on like crochet pumpkin TikTok. I keep seeing videos of people making crochet pumpkins.
It's like so specific and I love it.
I know, and there's so many videos.
Oh my gosh. That's so good.
Isn't there some lady who like feeds her dogs or something fruit and knits them caps or whatever for the type of fruit she's feeding them?
Probably.
That's too much.
Definitely. That's so that person exists. Oh my God. Go to the Trader Joe's I go to.
Wild. I'll do photography.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna choose pottery.
Yeah, same. Ooh, I'll do pottery. Yeah.
I mean, I would pick pottery, but like I don't know if I can do pottery. I'm
never you can do it. I've seen your work.
Yeah. I've seen your work.
Second grade.
That pinch pot you made was beautiful.
That just unpacked all of it at mom's house. Oh my God. She has so many like clay things we made. And I'm like, Mom, you really can get rid of like almost all of them.
Absolutely not. They're not for her at this point. They're not going anywhere.
Like pick two from each of us. Like you don't need like 30 pieces of bad clay art.
And she has some of Dad's too.
Yeah, like for when Dad was little. Like what?
Oh, that's like, cute.
It's like y'all don't even know each other.
That's
why. Where'd you get this? I want to figure out. This is like a tangent on our quiz. I want to figure out if Dad's Mars sign is Aries too, because he has the same like incredibly short temper that I do. And there was one time, it was like last fall, we were driving, well, I was driving, and I took a wrong turn, and I was looking for a place to turn around, and I missed a spot where I could have turned around, and Dad was like, just out of nowhere, turn the fucking car around, and I yell right back, and I go, don't the fucking turn. Silence. Like,
oh my God.
Like it came on and went away just like that. And we're like,
that's hilarious. Like father, like daughter, though, dang.
Yeah. Yeah. I was just like, where's our temper coming from?
That's I definitely need you guys to look up your parents' charts and just let me know because I'm fascinated. It's always interesting to see how you were raised and like how that kind of reflects in the charts of your parents. Mm-hmm. I'd love to hear all about it.
Yeah.
All right.
We should do that. Yeah.
Lastly, which sport would you most enjoy playing? Football, basketball, volleyball, or baseball? Volleyball.
Basketball.
I miss my Tuesday night volleyball when I lived on Jekyll Island.
Oh.
None? I don't want to play any of this.
I'll play baseball because it just sounds chill, like in your grandparents' backyard.
You get, like snacks when you play baseball.
Yeah. But I'm not playing with McKenna because remember you when you chipped my tooth?
Oh yeah,
because we were playing baseball.
Oh no,
she hit me right in the mouth with a metal baseball bat.
I told her to back up, and then
you did not.
Because we had had like one of those like things where it would like pop the ball up. No, like a little plastic contraption.
No, grandma threw it to you.
Back up, and I pressed down on the thing, and she had to have heard the clicking that was wounding up.
No, you were three strikes out. Grandma was throwing the ball, and
she was like
grandma
four.
Was not there.
Yeah.
Grandma was not there.
I think she was there.
No, she wasn't.
So well, someone was throwing
like
the ball.
Two, and I was like four or something.
Four. You were six. Anyway.
Oh. Well, I have a better memory of it, and
I'm holding on to the grudge.
There were no adults around.
I'm holding on to the grudge.
No adults around. That's why you got smacked in the mouth. I mean, that makes sense.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Or it was grandma's fault. I think that's.
Or true. It was grandma's fault. We can maybe blame grandma. She's not here to defend herself.
Okay, Tori. So what's your choice?
Volleyball.
Okay. Oh, they got me right.
Nice. They got me right too. Said earth.
I got water signs, so they did not get me right. But that's my rising sign, so maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, I got air sign. So that's my, I am a Gemini.
That's also
rising,
your thing.
So yeah.
There you go. They had like a 3 in 12 chance though.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pretty good.
Wait, Tori, so why do you settle on the Virgo PT?
I was
going to
ask
name?
Too. Yay. Ooh. Good.
Well, because like, Virgo, or like the icon of like the virgin, is often like associated with being like a mother or like nurturing, grounded. It's an earth sign, like associated with like nature and all, and like even like a healer sometimes. So all that kind of really goes well with pelvic health and like my vibe. So it was just kind of like perfect. And like I specialize in postpartum. So like the mother, the nurturer, like I just thought it fit like really perfectly. I don't think a lot of people like get it though. I get it. So that's what matters to me.
I was going
to
say, maybe like there isn't a huge population of people who love astrology in Florida. I bet you if you were like in Colorado or somewhere more hippie-dippy that they'd be all over it.
Yeah.
I mean, there's like a lot of my clients and like referral sources are like very crunchy though, so like
great.
Get
we love
it,
the crunch.
You should take it into consideration when you and Kevin decide where to move next.
That's fair.
Oh, if you move to like New York City, not that you would, but like if you move to New York City, and then people would probably get it a little more
versus like Alabama.
And then like Savannah.
Yeah.
I think too, like if I had a clinic where they like actually saw my branding a lot more, like they would get it, because it would be, you know, like a really cozy like space, like naturey vibes.
Nice. I love
Salem.
That.
Salem.
Salem, Mass.
Yeah.
Oh, Salem. Yes. Yeah.
What do you think I was saying, Tori?
I don't know what you're saying.
Speaking of Salem, have you guys watched Hocus Pocus 2 yet?
No, don't tell me.
It's so good.
Have you watched it?
It's so good.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
I tend to enjoy Disney sequels.
Mm-hmm.
And I agree that they did a good job with this one. I've only heard one person say they didn't like it.
I think Tori is Winifred, I'm Mary, and McKenna is Sarah. Thoughts?
No.
I don't know it well enough, honestly.
I'm not that much of an airhead.
Well, maybe it's more of that, like, perceived aloofness.
Well,
they're going to use your big three against you, McKenna. Don't let them.
Tori, what about Tori's rising? Because Sarah's the like bubbly one.
You're right. I'm Winifred. I'm the boss.
Okay. And I'll be the goofy other one.
Thank you.
Whose name I always forget.
Mary.
Mary. I'm Mary.
Tori's not Sarah.
Tori's Sarah.
No. Anyway, we're confusing Anna.
I'm definitely
I love
Mary.
It.
Mary and when I watch the movie. To be funny, and it doesn't always work. And apparently that's me. I don't want it to be me, but it's me.
Really, I thought I was more of the comedic relief, but maybe that's just me putting myself on a pedestal.
Maybe that's just my God complex.
Yeah, maybe that's just my God complex.
I think your grumpiness puts you as Winifred too.
That's true.
The tea is so strong and I am living my best life over here.
Anytime one of us does something from now on, be like, makes sense with your rising.
Makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Or it's like, oh, there's like that really passive aggressive thing that people joke about doing. Like, even if they don't know anything about astrology, they ask someone about their sign and they go, makes sense after they say it.
Like, okay.
I can see that. Yikes, girl. All right. Well, that's been all so for fun, now. You guys. Yes. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for letting me.
You did all this research. We never do that.
It's like things that I wish were just in my brain, but like I can't remember what each planet is. You know what I mean? Stuff like that. Yeah. It's not gonna be.
That's my problem too. Yeah. I've been told like all of it, like a lot of times. Mm-hmm.
I got song lyrics in there. I don't have room.
Yeah.
I have the whole Hamilton soundtrack in here.
Hello.
Yeah. Every word. I just found out apparently there's an unreleased song that was leaked.
Oh god.
So there's a whole other song to learn.
Oh wow.
You know, the other week I had Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer stuck in my head, and one of the keepers had Where Are You Christmas stuck in her head at the same time.
It's happening.
Oh my gosh.
The holidays are upon us.
No.
You just got back from Target stores. It's not even Halloween yet.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah, I know. I was at Target the other day. I was like, why is this here?
Yeah, Christmas PJs or something. Yeah.
Still in September.
The dollar section was like half Christmas.
Well, because they ran out of the Halloween stuff.
Yeah, that's not like, they're probably just out of pumpkins. And...
they need something.
Mm-hmm. They're like, hey, well, might as well put it out now.
Mm-hmm. Probably like last year's Christmas stuff that arrived in like March because of the shipping delays everywhere.
True.
It's true though. Like the people at Disney this year were like, yeah, this is actually the Halloween merch from last year, but it didn't all arrive on time.
Yikes.
Like not all of it.
The other Disney.
Some things. They're like, this was from last year.
Mm-hmm. Bye.
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 Thanks for listening to this week's Long Distance Sisters. Be sure to subscribe for more episodes and leave a good review.
And check out the video version on our YouTube channel.
You can find all of our other social media information in the description.
Talk to you later.
Bye. Bye.